a sip of water there. Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the InnerTubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Sawam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now and I'll join Face Gloria. I can't even fucking say it. It's so stupid.
What is that?
The new sin-free Facebook for Christians.
I think our listeners would love to see you doing Face Gloria.
They would?
Yeah, they would. Your ardent atheist tattoo would make their fucking heads explode.
Oh, right. Well, subscribe now or I won't join Face Gloria.
Now you're talking.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener has ever been offended by anything, do get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, Face Glory Holer. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Ian Harris and Vince Cachero. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Showbiz.
You're from Showbiz.
You are.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're not really a showbiz type.
Not really. I'm a fighter type.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes to fight. He likes to watch the fighters.
Do you fight for the camera?
I do, actually.
Yeah, you're a showbiz type.
The YouTube camera.
All right.
The YouTube camera?
Cool.
Yeah. We'll have to find out about your channel and do a little watching.
MMA, right?
I'll be watching alone in my room later.
Exactly. So MMA. We got Coach Ian Harris, actually.
What?
I didn't know you coached.
Yeah.
Really?
Shut up.
That's pretty cool.
How can I get into this kind of thing? I want to fight people.
Easy.
Heather wants to hurt
Mouth
herself.
Mouth off.
I do that to Emery all the time. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
That's because I'm a pussy.
No, that's my day job that doesn't do anything for me.
I didn't know this. I
had monetarily. No idea.
Yes.
No. I knew you were into the whole MMA thing, but I did not know. And I knew that you like boxed and shit, but I didn't know that you were like training people.
Yeah, yeah.
Those who can't do,
whole
teach.
That's my motto. Am I right?
Can I do this without getting hit in the face? Because I just got my nose pierced.
No, nope.
No. You could do jujitsu without getting hit in the face.
Jujitsu
on purpose.
Accidentally
kneed and elbowed in the face.
Oh, well, fuck! I have to wait 6 months for my piercings to heal.
You always have a reason. You always have some out. You talk like a big talk, and then all of a sudden there's some shit.
Are you talking
can't
to me
hear.
Right
Nothing.
Now?
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything.
See, this is how it starts. Right here.
I'm good. I'm a perfectionist.
Next thing you know, grudge match.
Right? God damn it. So
Mayhem in the City. They always have stupid names. Every MMA event's always got some like... They have to try. They're trying. We just want a nice look. We want to let people know this is a good, wholesome. It's a sport, and these are athletes. And what's the name of your show? Bloody Cage, Cage Death 9. You're like, okay, well maybe.
Rage in the cage.
Two men enter, one man leaves. No, they both leave. Really.
A night of fist fucking.
Exactly.
That's a different thing. It's nice to have you back. It's been a while since you've been here.
Yes,
thanks,
indeed.
Ian, for showing back up.
Of course.
Yeah, you've been out there gigging. You doing the gigging.
I've been doing a lot with my friend Ty Barnett. We were doing a show called.
Love Ty.
You know Ty.
We got to get Ty on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were doing a divided show.
The idea is that
you know.
Is he a believer?
He's not a not believer. Mm-hmm. He's not a non-believer. Mm-hmm. But he's also not some kind of like.
He's not an atheist activist.
He's not an atheist, and he believes in some kind of higher power. He's one of those guys, but he doesn't go to church or any of that kind of shit. He's not, nothing like that. But he's got a little different perspective. He's kind of a spiritual guy, but he also, you know, we're similar age, basically the same age. We've been friends for years, and you know, he's black, I'm white. I talk a lot about being an atheist. Politically, we're pretty even, but we come at this
grudge match.
Exactly. So we thought it's kind of fun to go up and talk about religion, race, politics from our two perspectives,
right,
and put it on tour. And we've been doing that for like the last 6 months. It's been good.
That's pretty great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who's
cool.
winning?
Got to bring him here.
What's that?
Who's winning?
You know, right now, I don't know. The audience.
I was going to well done. Sorry. Well played.
Well played.
I presume you talk to people after the show, and you got atheists coming up, like, to your table, and...
You know, I've been doing regular shows for regular people, not just conventions and my own show, because, you know, for a while I would tour and be like, you know, Ian Harris, Critical in Thinking Tour, and I would just market to atheists, and if you came and you didn't like what I did. That's your problem. But I've been doing like regular clubs again
and
still doing, I mean, you guys know what I do.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've been toning it down a little bit and I've been bringing in some of my old material. I brought out some old impressions and I've done some stuff, but there's still a good 30 minutes in there. That if you're a Christian, you're not going to like me. But
I noticed that you say that at the beginning of that set. You're like, if you're all Christian in here, you can leave now or, you know, plug your ears or whatever the hell you say.
And the funny thing is I still get people after the Divided show, like we had a guy in Washington come to me and he was like, it was really funny because everybody's gathered around and started watching. He comes up, he goes, hey, you know, I got to take exception to something you said up there. He goes, I didn't like what you said. He goes, I go, oh, okay, well, what was it? He goes, well, everything. I didn't like it. He goes, I didn't like everything. And I go, you didn't like everything? He goes, I was offended by everything or something like that. I go, wow. I go, really? So are you racist?
Oh, shit.
And he goes, what? I go, well, I did about 10 minutes about how you know, it's fucked up that cops are shooting people and yada, yada, yada. I go, well, that was all right. Okay. So that's cool. I go, are you like a big Bigfoot believer? And he goes, well, no, that's silly. I don't. Oh, so the Bigfoot thing. Oh, that was pretty funny. Yeah, I like the Bigfoot thing. And I'm like, okay, well, that's 20 minutes of my act. What about the ghost thing? He goes, no, the ghost thing was pretty funny. Okay, that's 30 minutes of my act. I'm like, so, like the religion. Oh, he goes, yeah. So the 10 minutes I did tonight about religion, you didn't like.
Right.
And that's everything to you out of my 45-minute
set.
Right,
that's all you heard.
And then he goes, well, that, this is the funniest, this is how I didn't realize how the perception of people, they don't know what you're talking about on stage. They don't know what it's like to be on stage. He goes, apparently he was sitting way in the back row of a theater that holds 300 people. And he said, well, I didn't like you call my girlfriend a bitch.
What?
And I go,
what?
First off, I'm really amazed that you have a girlfriend. I'm like, I didn't call anybody a bitch. He goes, yeah, you did. He goes, you said, and if you walked out, fuck you, bitch. And I go, well, first off, I said that at the end when we'd come back up and say goodnight and we do a little Q&A and it was fun. And I said, I only heard that four people walked out of the show, of my part of the show. I assumed that those four people had left.
Yeah.
I go, I didn't know you were still. He goes, yeah, that was us. We walked out during the religion stuff, but we came back in when that part was over,
which
is kind of funny. Well, first off, you weren't even in there for it, the part that you hated.
Right.
But I go, he goes, so you looked right at my girlfriend and said, for those of you who walked out, fuck you, bitch. I go, you really think I can see you from the stage? I go, I can't see 2 feet past the front row.
Right.
And he goes, oh, and I go, Ty, come here. I call you. I go, can you see anybody on the front? Say, I go, can you see anybody? No, can you see anybody? And the other comics are like, no, of course not. I go, see, dude, you this entire time, you're pissed off walking around because you thought I called your girlfriend a bitch and you guys were in the 30th row of the theater.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the idea, and he wasn't, and he was 10 minutes of my act, which 5 minutes of it he wasn't even present for.
Right.
But in his mind, I called his girlfriend a bitch, and he hated everything about my act because I was just this guy who just railed on him for 50 minutes.
Right.
None of that was, but in his mind, that's where, so I get that a lot from like one person every show. One person every show comes up and is like, I didn't like what you did.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I get into it, and then it's finally, oh, you mean the one joke where I said this about Christians. Okay.
Do you run them all through the same motions? Because that's pretty funny.
No, I had a lady in Seattle, girl, young, she was very drunk. And I was killing Seattle. All week long, I was having great sets. Nobody had a problem with it. And even the club owner, John Fox, was like, look, I don't like religious material. I go, well, you want me to do something else? You know what I was booked here for. He goes, no. I'm just saying I personally don't like it. He goes, I don't find it offensive. I'm an atheist. He goes, I don't really believe that stuff either. He goes, but I just don't find the material funny. He goes, but the crowd's fucking loving it, so keep doing it. Huh. And then one show, the girl comes up to me. She goes, so from your act, I'm getting that you think science and religion aren't compatible. And I go, you paid attention, you know? I go, yes, absolutely. She goes, well, I'm a scientist. I go, oh, cool. She goes, well, I studied science. She goes, and I, you know, I'm religious. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's cool, whatever. She goes, my husband here is an atheist. And he goes, he had a thick accent. He was Israeli. He goes, I'm not an atheist. He goes, I don't have a belief in God necessarily. He goes, but I don't call myself atheist. He goes, but you know, I am Jewish by birth, but I don't believe it, you know, whatever. And she goes, he's like you, he's an atheist. But anyway, and she starts going on. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. And then I tried to be nice for about 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was like, she kept going. Then she said something about, well, you know, science supports a 6,000-year-old Earth.
Oh my God!
And I'm like, I was thinking you were talking about, you know, I can believe in evolution and also be a Christian or one of those kind of things. And I'm like, no. And then she said, well, you know, and she said this is a big one. She said, she goes, And what about all these studies on prayer? Prayer works.
I don't think she's a scientist.
And I go. They've just done a bunch of studies on prayer to show that it doesn't work, and in fact, it has an inverse effect. And she goes, I don't know what studies you're reading, but there have been tons of studies with all the major medical journals showing that prayer works. And I go, you lost your mind. And we got into it, and pretty 2 hours late, maybe an hour and something later, we're arguing.
Yeah.
Like, and they're closing, it was a second show, where they're closing the club, and like the guy who's, I forgot his name, he's putting the chairs up on the table, and he's closing out.
It's the guy that sweeps up the stage on the Carol Burnett show.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, right?
He works at that John Fox gig.
Yes. This guy comes up to me, he's hilarious, because he's like, we're sitting there talking, and I'm trying to be nice, and I'm trying to back off, and the husband's behind me going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And this little dude sweeping comes up and goes, hey, lady. Get the fuck out! It was hilarious.
That's phenomenal.
I can't believe you spent that much time talking.
I always
to this
do because I'm too. I'm nice. I'm like, I want to be. I don't want to be a dick because I'm like, oh, this is my. I don't want to piss off the club owner.
If they're not yelling at you and swinging at you, you sit there and talk to them.
You know, burlesque performers don't have that problem. No one comes up to me and goes, "Hey, lady, I don't like what you did."
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You took
put
off your
clothes on
you
for
took
Jesus.
Off your fucking top, and your boobs were out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm a good Christian.
Yeah.
And when I come to a burlesque show, two things I want to see, clothed women and the rebel flag. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the there's a big difference between those two environments. Oh. I mean, people they know exactly what they're doing when they go to a burlesque show, but when they go to a comedy show, they don't necessarily presume that they're going to see their ideas and their ideals challenged.
On,
right. You know?
On Skeptically Yours this past Monday, we had the photographer who took this picture that's in my kitchen right here. It's me. I have a nun's habit. Headgear on, and I have these big pasties that have the picture of Jesus on them, and I was singing XTC's Dear God.
I thought those were just your nipples.
Yes, those are my nipples. I got them surgically altered. And so I was explaining how the audience took it, because it was like, the show was a themed show, but it was like woman's angst or something like that.
Right.
And so the person who runs the show specifically asked me to do this number. To confront religion. And I was like, okay. This is right up my alley.
I can do that, sure.
But when I walked in there, I was like, okay, what the fuck is the audience going to think of this? I did the number, they applauded, but it was more like...
Yeah. Right.
Golf clapper.
Yeah, like one guy in the back was like, wow! Yeah. Yeah.
He was, and then he passed out.
But I did it. I'd do it again if someone asked me to.
The guy in the back, was he Israeli?
He was that guy's, that lady's wife, husband.
I got to ask, where did you buy those pasties from?
I made them.
Yeah, she makes
them. I make my own pasties, yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much printed the picture off in color on the printer, attached it to some cardboard, and put rhinestones all over it. Boom, pasty. Oh,
but the halos Jesus. Around Jesus' head on the pasties there, that's actually, those are just birthmarks. She's got those.
what do you call those when, like, the Jesus and the toast? What are those things?
Yes.
What are those things called?
What are those called?
Oh, Vortex. Shoot. What are they called?
A Rorschach. A Rorschach.
Yeah, yes. Badoom.
Ryan jumps in with the
nice.
Punchline.
Yeah, it's a Rorschach. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I made these pasties, and I put them on, and when I came out, look, my sweat has created halos. It's a miracle. They're up in the Vatican's got them. These are the holy pasties of Antioch.
I spent a lot of time on that act. I created a video that had all these, like, for the song Dear God. I don't know if you know it, by XTC.
Dear God.
Yes, that's how it goes.
Ah, now I know.
But I put together a projection of a whole bunch of visuals, including people praying, children praying, war, Armageddon, blah, blah. And the projector projected all of that onto me. Nice. On also a screen behind me. So if you look at the picture, you can kind of see that there's a projection going on over top of me there.
Oh, nice.
And by the way, Emery, I want to make a video of that. Let's do it.
A video of that
number.
Performance?
Yeah, of that performance.
I'm dying for you to do that. Okay. I would love you to do that.
I
think you should do that piece at Flappers.
Ugh, you need to get a projector. You got to set all that shit up.
I think they have one. I think they have everything we need.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do it.
All right. I think it's time for a break. Should we take a break?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Oh, God.
What? I'm just taking a break.
Dear God, hope you got the letter.
You guys have heard this, right? XTC, Dear God.
I don't need a big reduction in the price of beer, but all the people that you made your image, see them starving on their feet, cause they don't get enough to eat.
Love this song.
Can't believe in me.
All right, we'll be right back after this, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available on the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Macrocious, kind of like Emery. Look it up, road.com/Emery, and buy the damn thing.
A new survey says that 1 in 3 Americans doesn't believe in evolution, which explains why Duck Dynasty is still on the air.
That joke was stolen from at Warren Holstein.
Yeah, he's funny.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come. And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Ian Harris and Vince Cachero. Am I saying your name right?
Yes.
All right, cool. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
So, Vince, let's talk about your belief system. How were you raised? Do you believe in God?
Well, let's see. I guess I'm an agnostic atheist, depending on what you want to define it as. So what do you define an atheist as?
Well, you tell me what you think an atheist is. Well, I'll throw it back at you.
Let me see. I guess an atheist is someone who absolutely knows that there's no God.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It happens all the time.
That's not an atheist.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. It's everybody thinks that, too.
We're not
picking on you.
Right.
Okay. Everybody who isn't in the atheist activist community has a misunderstanding of what atheism is. An atheist is someone who eats babies.
Definitely an atheist.
Really
He makes the best. He's Filipino. He makes the best babies.
Babies too.
Yeah.
So
that in balut.
Balut. Yeah, black dog. Whatever you guys want. I can do.
Yeah. Atheists don't say there's no God. Now you will find the occasional, and boy, are they rare. You will find the occasional atheist who will say something like that.
Usually the young atheist. When I say young atheist, I mean someone who just has become an atheist due to something bad maybe that happened. Yeah, there's no God. You know, that person who's newly into their atheism may just claim it. But
young atheist. We call them yatheist.
But atheism is to belief, as agnosticism is to knowledge. So atheists don't believe that there's a God that exists. If you show them evidence, then they will most likely change their beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay.
But agnosticism, they don't know if there is or they don't know if there isn't.
Well, they answer two different questions.
Yeah.
One answers what you know, and the other answers what you believe.
Yeah.
And I always tell everybody, whether they want to admit it or not, honestly, everyone's an agnostic. Nobody knows in the sense that people want to.
I hadn't thought of that.
The people in the sense that they say they want. I mean, a Christian will say, "Well, I know.
I know my heart.
I don't know.
I've had a personal relationship with
Jesus.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have a personal relationship. He's my personal God.
Right, exactly.
We talk
on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, you're sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're
survey says Thorazine or something. lithium. But so I think agnosticism is a different question. It's, hey, do you know? And the honest answer that everyone sees, whether you're the Pope or whether you're me, the answer is, no, I don't know. I may have a certain level of probability. I may say, I know to 99%, and I would call that knowing, but nobody fully knows, because you can always say, oh, well, God exists, and he created us right now with no memory of nothing, and prove it wrong. Yeah, you can't do that. But belief is, you look at that schedule, you look at that the scale of probability, and you say, based on the evidence, I have not yet fostered a belief in a God, or I have fostered a belief in God, and that's atheist or theist, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you fostered a belief, you're a theist. If you have not yet fostered a belief, you are atheist.
But wait now, what if you have fostered a belief and then shed that belief? Because you're black and white there. Your dichotomy doesn't.
Well, I guess
really
I'm saying that if you do not currently can have a have a belief in God, then you would be atheist.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're without theism. So that's what atheist is.
I usually say that there's no God when I'm just trying to be a dick to somebody who's pissing me off.
Yeah,
there's no God.
There are occasions, and people who want to argue the point that we're discussing now and dancing on this head of a pin, they'll look for opportunities to do that to you when you're saying there's no God. The language is a really, really... when someone says something, you have to consider the context in which it's said. That's a fact. No matter how you break it down, that's true. So you don't really get to say to people, you said this then, so you mean this. No, it's not how it works. So even the atheists you might be able to find who have said that don't necessarily believe that that they know for sure 100% that there's no God.
Now what are you?
I'm definitely an atheist. Now that I know that definition.
Convert! No kidding.
Well, you got to look at life based on the evidence and what's presented out there.
Yeah.
And based on all the evidence that's out there, it's safe to say that there's no God that's being presented out there. Like,
there's Zeus probably no those, God.
Probably no God.
Yeah, but that probably. The 6,000 year Earth doesn't. The science it says
it's right true. Here in the Bible.
Yeah.
I read this book.
I want to talk to people like the lady you bumped into, man. That just is ballsy.
It's
so
hard.
Did you find out, by the way, what she really does? Because that is not a scientist.
No, I think she was a teacher who had some kind of degree, which still, to me, like, how do you get a degree in biology? Or I just read that thing recently that
I'll tell you how. Cliff Notes.
Yeah. but did you guys see that there was, I can't, and I'm fuzzy on the story, so you guys may know it better than me, but Bobby Jindal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's his kid's friend or his friend's kid, or it could be both. But they were, I guess, this kid. They were family friends of him and of Bobby Jindal's. And I guess they were both his dad and Bobby Jindal were both professors of biology or something like that. They were both doctors, PhDs in some sort of science. And he basically was saying that all the shit that he says is just political. Like, he doesn't buy into any of that stuff.
Oh my fucking Christ, that's great. So there's a guy who knew him back when.
Yeah, they're like family friends.
Right.
And the kid keeps calling him out. The son of the...
I saw an article...
Something about that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
That, yeah.
But the kid keeps, like, calling him out on shit and saying stuff, and it's like, no, dude, we know you. Like, you're not... You don't believe... But it's just like that he... He may be Christian, he may have some of those beliefs, but... All that shit he's doing, in Louisiana is just for political career.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is the party line, so I gotta toe it.
That's
know?
Creepy on every
that.
Level.
That's worse.
That's
worse than
awful.
Believing it.
Yeah, yeah, that is worse than believing.
It's like I think with Ann Coulter and Bill O'Reilly, it's like, okay, I can't believe that you actually believe some of this stuff, which makes it worse that you're selling it to idiots.
He's the Rachel Dolezal of politics. Is that what you're saying?
The Rachel Dolezal of politics. That's so funny. I'm I'm not a Christian, but I identify as one.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be the first atheist pope. There we go. Yeah, I'm an atheist. But, you know, I identify as a Christian, so it's...
Wow.
If Rachel can do it.
I love that story. I hadn't heard that. I did read very briefly a very short blurb somewhere, and I didn't dive into the whole thing about Jindal.
And I'm probably butchering it, but I know it was...
Well, he was arguing for the flag, and he said something about how it's his heritage. And I'm like, that is not your heritage. You're not even fucking close to that heritage.
Here's what's funny. Isn't he Indian?
Yes.
East Indian. So the swastika is actually closer to his heritage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly right.
Because that's a Hindu. Isn't that an old Hindu symbol for us? Really, he should be flying a swastika flag is what
heritage.
He should be flying.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't become your heritage because you live in that town.
Yeah.
You know? Currently.
Yeah. Vince, did you have to go to church when you were a kid?
No, I was baptized because I have a Filipino grandmother.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't go to church when I was a kid, fortunately. I did grow up and I went to a Christian private school out in Hawaii. But everyone who's going to that school, they're all nice little Asian kids like me. No one was really super religious who went there.
You're not an Asian kid, are you?
I'm an Asian kid.
I'll be damned.
Three quarters.
There you go.
Yeah, half Filipino, quarter Japanese, and all kinds of white.
All right.
Oh my goodness. You look. What do you look like? What does he look like?
Well, everyone
what is your
Spanish
ethnic situation?
Spanish. Yeah,
I imagine people think you're Mexican or
yeah.
Puerto Rican or something like that.
How long have you
Filipinos,
lived down
here? As I call them, Chinese Mexicans.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
How long have you lived in LA?
I've been in LA for about 4 years now.
And where'd you come from?
I grew up out in Hawaii. I went to school up north in the Bay, and then I came down here in 2011. So yeah.
In Hawaii, you probably were just taken for Hawaiian. That's probably easy.
Well, no. I mean, out there, actually, in Hawaii, there's not too many people with Hawaiian blood in them.
Right, right.
So more often than not, they're thinking guys who are just dark like me are just an Asian kid.
Really?
Oh, really?
Asian. Filipino, usually. Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, a bunch of those guys out there.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So Hawaii's kind of a mix like that, though. There's a lot of, like people that are Hawaiian that are a lot of Filipinos in Hawaii. There's a lot of, there's a lot of just Pacific Islanders in general in Hawaii that have all kind of, seems like that's what Hawaiian almost is now. It's like you go there. I'm sure that Hawaiians would be not happy with you. But right. It's like, I mean, but Hawaii is such a big mix melting. It really is kind of
a melting pot.
It really is.
Ah, like America.
Yeah.
America.
Baby America.
America.
Yeah. Like North Carolina.
You know, we'll all never homogenize. You know that's not what happens, right?
We'll never homogenize?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid.
It's more of a salad bowl than a melting pot.
Yes. Yeah. We're more of a tossed salad.
Yes. And speaking of tossed, no.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I always thought, and you heard this often, you know, racism will go away when? And that is when the melting pot's finished, when it's homogenized, when it's turned us all into lightly browned people. With the same color hair and the same color
eyes.
That's
what they want you to believe.
That's exactly right. That is what they wanted me to believe. But it's not even close to how genetics works. It doesn't. We can intermingle all we want, and that's not what happens.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No. What you got, honey?
Miles on the Wall of Reason just posted a link about felon creationist Kent Hovind is released from prison, and Jim Bob Duggar was his welcome wagon.
What was he in prison for?
Tax fraud. 2006
oh, really?
Tax fraud conviction. It was released on Wednesday morning.
Huh.
And we'll spend the next month under house arrest and then 3 years of probation. And
so that's Kent Hovind? Is that who we're talking about? Go back up.
Kent Hovind.
Kent Hovind.
Shouldn't all churches be in prison for
he's
tax
a huge...
fraud?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's a 5,000 year. Is it 5 or 6,000 or 10,000? 6,000?
Yeah, everybody, 5,000? It always changes a little bit. It depends on how many begats and you count back or whatever.
He's a dumb thousand.
You know, science.
He's a dumb thousand earther. That's what he is.
Dumb thousand.
I love how they say Kent's son, Eric, met him at the prison gates along with none other than Jim Bob Duggar, father of sexual predator Josh Duggar,
that's uncool.
Jim Bob went to great lengths to protect from prosecution for molesting four of his sisters and a babysitter.
Yeah, really, it should
talk about a slanted story. Sorry, no offense.
And when reality, it should said incestuous.
Yeah.
Molester. That's where it
it's just funny how they just wanted to let everybody know these people are assholes.
Yes. Right.
And they all support each other.
Well, yeah, they do.
Who else is gonna?
Listen, to me, the breaking news, the big news, it's not atheistic in nature at all, although it certainly crosses over into that morality discussion. Cosby, man, he is fucking done for.
Yeah, I heard, I haven't read it. I've only heard through her.
There is
there like
from
a deposition, something about
2005. And I remember the year very well because we were working on selling the Aristocrats at Sundance that year. So it stuck in my head. In 2005, there's a deposition where he admits to buying Quaaludes. I always wondered what the drug was.
Yeah.
It's nice now that I know. It's good to know. And I'm,
or as Hef calls them, leg openers.
Oh.
Seriously, did you read that one too?
No.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Leg openers?
Leg spreaders, something like that.
Wow.
Well, that's what Holly, whatever her name says in that book that she just wrote about.
Anyway, about he admits to getting Quaaludes to give to women.
Yeah. And when asked if he had it in his mind that he would... when he bought the Quaaludes, he admitted that he bought them with the idea in mind that he would be using, having sex with women.
Right.
That was what it was about. And when asked if he had drugged any women with them or something like that, his lawyer leapt in and said, "Don't answer that question." And so there's a lot going on there.
The question is, what if they're taking them willingly, knowing?
Let's talk about that.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay.
Yeah, I do. I want to cover that because I think this is important. All right, we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available in the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Great news. In fact, we have a ad-free service. That's the premium service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You Want button. If you want to give us more money, we will give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. It's weird that Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson condemns gays when his family made their millions blowing on a phallic object.
That joke was stolen from @OriginalLeeMace.
Yeah, another very funny guy.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Ian Harris, Vince Cachero. Thank you guys for being here. So, Heather, by the way, is currently looking for Bill Cosby said
Jell-O pudding pop.
I think that's how he said it, somewhere. Right? Yeah, we're going to find
Jell-O
out.
Jell-O pudding.
She's going to find the ad. She'll send me
go
a
on it'll make you smile.
Yeah.
Take this Quaalude, go on, it'll make you smile. It'll make me smile, it'll make you pass out.
My
question is, I haven't read the article, I've only heard second, third hand from people like, oh yeah, like you said, he came out and, you know, this deposition, whatever. And my question was, Was he slipping them the Quaaludes without their knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Or was this like, you know, let's go back to the Kaza's house, do some lewds, and, you know, like, what was he, you know?
Okay.
What was it? Because if that's the case, I'm not saying that it was right, but there's a difference between, you know, it's the 70s, we're going to go back to my house and do blow and have a sex party and take Quaaludes. If the girl's going up there, at least in his mind, or maybe in their, that's what they were doing.
Okay.
I'm wondering if his thought was, I doubt it. I doubt that his thought was that, but I wonder.
Here's what I want to say to that. And a lot of people think what you're thinking right now. A lot of people are thinking it, saying it, feeling it. Okay? Here's my take on this. First of all, in the deposition, it's obvious that he got those Quaaludes with the intent of getting girls at least in a state where they would decide that they wanted to have sex using this drug.
Right.
That... On its face, on its own, no matter how you break it down, that is right.
By the way, very hard to get Quaaludes.
Yeah, no, not today. Today it's Ambien.
Yeah.
It's Ambien. I got a couple if you want to buy them, $20. So, yeah.
Those are mine.
Oh, no, they're not.
That's the
Tommy
same thing.
James gave them to me.
I was going to say, that's the same thing as trying to get a girl drunk with the intention of trying to have sex with
her. Right, that's exactly right. Now, there's a difference between two people who are adults having drinks and going back and fucking. There is a big difference between the two ideas that we're discussing.
Right.
Now, what Bill Cosby was doing, according to more than 30 women, was, at least to some degree, or at least on some occasions, slipping people drugs.
Right. That's
what
I thought.
Put them in a state that made them rapeable.
Right.
There are more than 30 women who are claiming this. Okay? And no men, which means he's a homophobic. So here's the here's the breakdown on this. I imagine there were some girls at that point in time when he said, here, take this, and they took it because they were going to be partying with Bill Cosby.
Right.
That's not an admission of that's not showing an interest
in being
fucked. That's not a consensual act.
Right.
Although
there might be ones that were the idea, or going to back to fuck Bill Cosby and party. There might have been those.
There probably were dozens more like that, or hundreds even maybe, or thousands.
Right. That's probably how it started.
Yeah.
They're like,
Oh,
look at these. They're fucking.
Yeah.
This is great.
I would imagine that there are people who consciously decided, I'm going to get high with Bill Cosby and we're going to fuck, and this is what we're going to do.
And or drink or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Without question, I think that's
I mean, he's such a handsome guy.
Come on.
He's so funny.
Free Jell-O for life.
Vince, what do you think about this mess?
Well, I'm devastated because Jell-O used to be one of my favorite foods. I'm now shifting it towards gummy bears. But I mean, obviously, if the guy's slipping any person drugs to have sex with him, it's rape. There's no question about it. So,
did you feel bad because Bill Cosby was considered such a good, wholesome person? Were you like, come on, man, why?
I mean, usually it's the most wholesome people that are fucking up in their personal life, anyway.
Yeah, right? Jarrett from Subway.
Who'd he rape?
Oh yeah, child pornography or some shit on him, right?
He got caught with child pornography.
No wait. Let's be very, very clear.
Allegedly,
I read the story.
We are
absolutely, and I'm going to talk about.
Allegedly,
that.
He was at Pee Wee's house. And it was,
we are absolutely talking about.
By the way, Paul Rubens did not get busted for anything else.
Who, Paul Rubens?
He did not.
Yeah, no.
No, but he did get
he
questioned.
He got caught with his dick in his hand.
No. But after that, he got questioned.
Uh-huh.
And they actually, I think they arrested him and let him go because he had like some painting in his house. But because he's friends with the other actor who did get busted, the guy from the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't know who it was. Okay.
I'll get his name.
Jeffrey something.
Yeah, he was the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He got, and they were good friends, and I guess he got busted. So guilt by association, they went after Paul, but he ended up, I guess, that's the story, but there was nothing he didn't.
Oh, good.
He didn't do anything. Well, he did get caught in a theater one time.
First of all, we're talking about some shit that shouldn't be going on in many cases. This whole thought crime thing is making me a little crazy.
Yeah.
If someone is consuming, in other words, buying child porn, that's a problem. No question, that's a problem. But boy, we have that on the wrong shelf, in my opinion. We absolutely have that on the wrong shelf. We put people who download child porn or underage porn, we put those fuckers on the same shelf as the people who are molesting
making
these
it
kids.
And, doing,
and they don't belong up there.
Yeah, I agree.
Really. I mean, we're talking about that should be a finable offense, not a sex offender offense. Because guess what? Those guys didn't do anything to an individual. Right. The guys that made the shit and sold it, that's where you go after the source. And we know that.
Right.
We know that.
Well, technically, technically, in bestiality is illegal.
Yeah, it is.
And at least in some ways.
I like how you're packaging this. Where are we going with this?
My point is...
Did you get a new dog?
But it is, exactly. Uh-huh. A horse.
Wow, we learned more about Ian Harris than we wanted to know.
Donkey show, really. Yeah. But do they... do you get the same... If you were into bestiality porn, is there the same kind of penalties?
Well, I know that it doesn't carry... It carries a completely different social response. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't think they end up on a sex offenders list if you fucked a horse or a dog.
I could be wrong about this. But the other thing is, what if you just come across it on the internet? Because you know, it's pretty hard to accidentally come across child. You got to be looking for child porn. But I've seen fucking crazy shit of like, oh, look in Mexico. I videotaped it, and it's like, whoa, that's a woman with a donkey. Click off. Yeah. I've accidentally come across that before, like literally, and I'm like, does that make me a fucking offender of some sort?
My show is not the place for you to preemptively offer explanations for what eventually is going to happen.
But seriously, I wonder. Like I've heard of that where people, you know, I mean, is shouldn't that be on the same level if they're both equal? As far as if you're gonna, like you're saying, a thought crime, if you're gonna say that watching this stuff, not contributing to it, is equal. Yeah, people are getting put in prison for watching something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, but if it's equally as illegal to, is it equally as illegal to watch a fucking...
But it's illegal to own child porn. So if you have it on your computer, that's illegal.
That's why I rent all mine. I only rent mine.
Yeah. Blockbuster.
Play that stupid video.
Cockbuster.
Cockbuster video, yes.
Yeah, Cockbuster. That works. Yes. It's a chicken. I don't know.
Video.
Delicious. And won't strike out with mom.
That isn't the line.
Just play the whole thing.
But I struck out with your mom, so I root feed her.
New Jell-O pudding pops.
Hey, Bill Cosby, what's that?
New Jell-O pudding pops. Frozen pudding on a stick.
Ooh, tastes good.
Yep. It's a home run with like your crazy taste buds and won't strike out with your mom like some snacks do because it's made with real pudding.
New, rich, creamy-tasting
jelly. Why did they let him near those kids? Oh, they didn't know. They didn't know
that. They didn't know at that time.
Yeah,
this is old.
Know. Yeah, yeah. So I want to get back to what you and I were talking about, Ian. The bottom line is if we need to become a society that understands that when a woman says, if you're mid-sex with a girl, your cock is deep in her and she says, I need that out of me, you stop.
Absolutely.
You know that by and large people don't believe this in our society, especially older people.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. There are people who believe that a man can't control himself once he's in that particular state. Mostly people that are the generation prior to me really holds that as kind of a tenet as truth.
And by the way, ladies, if you're having sex with me and I start crying, that doesn't mean to stop. By the
way. You said it right here on Art Nation.
So if he was giving people quaaludes and they had not discussed, and I'm sure they didn't in many cases, and they had not discussed, hey, we're going to take this drug and then we're going to fuck.
Right.
Right? If that didn't happen...
As soon as they're incapacitated, then it's... Yeah,
then what he's doing is raping people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that simple. So the gray area of did they decide to get high with him... And there's no good argument here with regard... Listen, this is something that I think is really important, too. We can say to girls and women, we can say, if you don't want to be sexual with someone... Don't put yourself in a position where they might be able to take advantage of you.
Miles on
without,
the wall.
We can say that without meaning we are blaming the victims for these situations.
Miles Absolutely. On the wall of reason says, my safe word is, get the fuck out of me.
I knew. So that's a false dichotomy that's perpetuated a lot. If you say to women, don't put yourself in unsafe situations. You're victim blaming. That's bullshit on its face. It's flat out, fuck you, it's bullshit.
Right.
No one is saying that they are responsible for that. That's a false dichotomy.
But you know, the problem, and I'm not saying one way or the other is right or wrong. I'm saying the problem with the gray area, not with the fucking Quaaludes and roofie and people and, you know, fucking them. I'm not talking about that. But you get in this area where you have, like you said, two people at a bar.
Yep.
They're both drinking. They both go back to the room. Sex happens. And then the girl can say, well, it wasn't consensual.
Yeah.
And if she, and there are people lobbying saying, well, if there was any drinking involved, then it wasn't consensual.
Right.
But they don't go the other way.
Right.
So if they're both drunk, the guy is in full control of his consent.
Right.
And the woman isn't.
Right.
And I don't understand that. Like, so if I had five shots of vodka and you had five shots of vodka and we had sex, I'm raping you because you had five shots of vodka? Like, I don't understand how
that happens in college a lot.
It happens in college.
And I get why, because there are people that do that, get a girl drunk in order to get her back to the room. But if you're under the impression that hey, I'm out and I met this girl at the bar and we're both drinking and we're both going back to my house or my room or my hotel, whatever the deal is, and that happens, it's like, could the guy turn around and go, I was completely inebriated and she raped me? Like, that would never happen.
Right.
Like,
it does happen, though.
The problem, first of all, the fundamental problem with this equation,
right,
is that we're talking about a penetrative act and the man is the penetrator. So you can't necessarily.
I want to write a song called "The Penetrator."
You can't necessarily put these two situations in exactly the same space. It's not right to do that.
No, but it's it is.
You get my point, right?
I do, but you can. I also do think that a woman could, if a guy was completely out of his mind.
I've had it happen to me.
So I mean, my point is that if a guy thinks it's consensual,
right,
because they're both out drinking. You know,
right.
His it may not be totally because she's out, she's drunk or whatever, but he's drunk too, which
right.
means his reasoning is completely gone. So it's like, the point is, how do you know if you're that guy? You know, maybe you thought it was consensual.
I'll
like, that's
exactly,
my problem. It's
I'll
like, it's like, that's a weird issue.
I'll tell you exactly how you know. We as a society talk about this a lot. And we teach teen boys, because that's where the problem really lives, basically.
Right.
We teach younger men and teen boys that this is a dangerous thing to be doing. And we teach teen girls and young women that this is a dangerous thing to be doing. And by this, I mean getting really wasted and intermingling sexual pull me push you scenarios. It's a very dangerous area to be getting into, and it's hard. It's really hard.
Right.
These guys, they are coursing. I was one. You were one. They are coursing
right.
with hormones.
Right, and that's
there's
my point.
There's a lot going on there.
And that's my point is that when you get drunk, or whatever else, it's all of that shit goes out the window for both sides. Like, that's
yeah.
the whole point. It's just that's my yeah. point is where your decision making is completely.
Yeah, education, education, education. We have to talk about it. It needs to be in the public discourse.
That discussion actually is going on in college campuses now. I know that when I went to school back in 2007, when I first started, we had to go through a whole course on alcohol and drugs,
wow.
and then a lot about alcohol and sex. And basically, they were telling us, like, you're going to be liable, so you cannot have sex while you're drunk, especially
yeah.
dealing with this whole college scene.
There are also things you can do to protect yourself. And I'm talking to everybody involved here. Heather?
Vince, have you ever been raped by a woman?
I have not been raped by a woman.
Wannabe?
Goddamn matriarchy. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission.
The Amazing Meeting is an annual gathering of critical thinkers that is an unparalleled opportunity to enjoy some of the brightest minds on issues important to skeptical advocates. It's also a great place to make like-minded friends, and you'll leave with tools to help spread an educational message to your own community about unfounded and possibly dangerous beliefs. There will be many amazing speakers, including Ray Hyman, Todd
Hi, Ray.
Robbins,
Hi, Todd.
Jamie Ian Swiss,
Hi, Jamie.
George Robb, and
Hi,
more.
George.
TAM will be held from July 16th through the 19th at the newly renovated Tropicana in Las Vegas, Nevada. To get your conference tickets, just go to www.amazingmeeting.com. Emery and I will be there, will you?
And now, a special announcement.
This is a super fucking big-ass shout-out to a few of our listeners. Whew. Daniel Lucas, Id 10, Donald Trump's hairpiece, Pat Robertson fucked me in the ass, Dan R., Monster on Hump Day, Papa Emeritus. Emeritus? Yeah. Infected vaginal belch. My ass pure oil. Scat munching nuns. Donald Trump. Church on a fudge. Fisting nuns. Fisting Allah and petting a cat. Muhammad gave me AIDS. Dilfo. True Christian. Eric 13. SFC. Nameless school. Muhammad. Not different. Marduk. Son of Ea. Slayer of Tamat. Gaze. Your tits. Janelle Kelly. Trump filler. Jonathan Parker. Senior L. Trumpo. My tits. I'm gone. Phallus mortis. Donald Trump's hairpiece. Again. Jeb's unkempt bush. Ryan Magnan. Six ball. God, quantum damn. Queerbait. Michelle. Greg. Old fart. Kentucky atheist. Sentient radish. Lord Zebulon. Rainbow hardware department. Kyle Delaney. Tits McGillicuddy. Perry Diliolia. Thundercock, Doug, and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on... And who?
Smith.
And Bob Sorry, Smith. Just something. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
All those new people were me.
All those new people were you.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ian Harris and Vince Cachero. Thanks for being here, guys.
God. Who are Absolutely. Those people?
I don't know. That. Not one... Real name. Just
there was a, there was one real name.
I think one.
Yeah,
six was, ball. We know him.
Okay,
no, that's Eric, not even a real name. Eric 13 is a real name.
Eric, no, I just meant like you know, all these everyone's got some crazy ass handle.
Yeah,
you know,
They just do it so that I have to read it on the air.
Yeah, I think they just they're yeah.
Well, and a lot of them want to hide their status as Pope or Bishop. They can't say Archbishop.
Yeah,
Jerry O'Clanahan or whatever. That's
I would love if the Pope was listening to our show and coming into the wall with a moniker. That would be great.
I
so
didn't
apparently
say
the Pope is kind of like
fuck 97
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the Pope is starting to lighten up on gay marriage, which yeah. I'm sorry, let me word that the way it should have been worded. Yeah, that guy that wears ruby slippers and a dress is starting to lighten up on gay marriage.
Yeah, exactly. And a hat for every occasion?
Yes, a hat for every occasion. So, I don't what were we talking about?
I don't even fucking
I don't know. Something about Bill Cosby fucking
I know people. How to get the show back on track.
Nope.
You say, Mom, can I have this? She says, that's a no-no. But, Mom, you know how I feel about those. But, Mom, and don't go asking your father. But, don't, but, Mom,
that's
it's a
That's directly from the deposition.
She said, fine.
She said, Bill, can I have this? I said, you know you want it. And she said, but I don't want it, Bill. And Bill was like, but you know you're going to get it. And then I was like, don't go tell your husband.
This is our little secret. Yeah, I had no doubts, by the way, along the as this unfolded, and I mean in the fucking the 90s, maybe yeah, early 2000s, the early aughts, as I like to say, because I'm 51. The idea that Bill Cosby had been doing things to women that was wrong was kind of common knowledge in the comedy world.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of people talked about encounters with Cosby and the things that he was doing. And you know, when Sam Kinison was touring, there was no question that some of the tales about Cosby being on the road with a big old bag of cocaine and all that stuff, those were true stories.
Right.
And they make it back to us all. You know, we see this and then we talk. And the Cosby thing, man, numerous stories about him getting people to bring girls up to the room and shit happening that you know, the security has to get involved to kind of quiet things down and fix things. It was common knowledge, which is why Hannibal Buress, when he talked about it, I mean, he didn't have some secret information. He had kind of Comedy Global information. You
right.
know? And that's why he said that. So... When the women started coming out in massive fucking numbers, just crazy numbers, that's when I went, this is real. This right. is absolutely real. I don't even need to see a court battle, which right. is, you know, because they're all out of the statute of limitations and stuff. That I don't need to wait for that for me to draw the conclusion that this is very real.
Which to me, by the way, the statute of limitations on something like rape, I don't...
Why is there one?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it doesn't
I don't,
make
like,
any sense.
It's 2 years or whatever. But really, like, yes, but jaywalking's 20. It's just weird, like, how they have this... I'm obviously kidding, but it's weird how they have any sort of limitations on rape.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have it on murder.
Yeah, that's why when I jaywalk, I rape someone while I'm doing it.
Right, that's what that was.
While you're murdering
yeah,
them,
yeah,
you rape
yeah.
them?
Yeah, there's two reasons. That way, if I ever get caught, you know, 15 years later on the charge, I can plead down to the jaywalking.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, jaywalking. Yeah. I know the law, man. I know what I'm doing.
But you know, I wonder. Like the one thing that drives me nuts. And
you know that rape joke you just did. I don't think that wasn't funny.
I'm gonna tweet that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
But, oh, by the way, do you hear the whole Jerry Seinfeld? By the way, he apologizes. Makes me want to slap him. But
he did not apologize for what he said.
I heard he did. Just did. My friend Andrew just told me that he apologized.
And who are these assholes saying things that are true? Did you hear?
Did you hear the joke?
No.
The joke was shit. See if I can remember. It was something about swiping phones. How we're all gonna look like.
Gay
French king, lords, yeah, or kings, or something like that.
Gay kings,
really not very offensive.
18th
to be
century
honest,
gay kings, or something
like that. Yeah,
wow. For that.
Yeah, is that? But he got a big thing where people were upset by him in colleges, and he put out he wrote a letter saying saying, hey, college people, you know, lighten the fuck up. You're too PC. Now when Jerry Seinfeld is going, you're too PC. I mean, he's the most non-offensive or unoffensive comic on the planet. If he's too harsh for you, there's a problem. But here's what's funny. In the letter,
hang on to it. I want to hear it. But what we're talking about is he was doing a talk show talking about how colleges have become too PC.
Right.
And all he did was he pulled out an example, just an example joke that he had done that had drawn some heat.
Right,
where people were like, "That's not funny you're homophobic because you use the word and making the argument that making a bullshit argument, frankly,
right.
and so he pulled that out. So I want to make sure I'm clear on this. You're suggesting now that he's apologized for that joke. Tell me where were you going
for the joke? No, but here's what I think is funny about the whole deal. Then a college student wrote him back. And basically,
open letter to Jerry Seinfeld
that basically tells Jerry Seinfeld what comedies is and whatever. But in that letter, the guy mentions how you can do edgy stuff that's not offensive, and then he mentioned an Amy Schumer joke,
yep.
which is 1,000 times more offensive. And now she apologized for that joke.
No, she hasn't.
And the joke is, her joke was that
you know what they're doing?
I used to date Latinos.
They're jindling. I've just coined a new phrase.
They're jindling. They're jindling.
Go on.
But yeah, so her joke was, I used to date Latinos, but now I only date consensual, or something like that, obviously. So Latinos rape. And my friend Andrew was making a point. He's like, he goes, what she should have said was, yeah, well, you know, 2 years ago, I was, a girl who made her living doing shock comedy. That's what I do.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's what she does. She does shock comedy. She's, you know, a girl who, it's the dichotomy. Oh, there's this, you know, this cute girl up on stage who says this shocking shit. That's what she does. That's why she's famous. And apologizing for jokes is ridiculous. But what I thought was hilarious is that the guy can go, look, Jerry Seinfeld, swiping and using the word gay, looking like a gay French king, that's offensive. But all Mexicans rape.
Kings,
that's
right?
Okay.
Right.
What? Like, where does that come out of his
First
mind?
First of all, Amy Schumer
okay.
missed the boat on this. What she should have said was, you need to understand something. I was gang raped by an entire group of Mexicans once.
Right.
And that joke was my way of dispatching and dealing with the horror that was that rape.
Right.
And what you're doing now is you're victim blaming. See, we have to figure out how to use their own bullshit against them.
Right.
That's what we need to do. That's the right thing to do in my opinion.
I will say, comedy, it's interesting. Comedy is, I do think, is the supposed to push towards the lines of the medium. There are more people now who will let you know if they think you went over the line than ever before.
Don't I know it?
I mean, you have to feel the same way about comedy.
Yeah, but they keep moving the lines in for no reason.
Right.
I do this joke about the way people need to justify their cell phone. I need to have it with me because people are so important.
Right.
You know, I said, well, they don't seem very important the way you scroll through them like a gay French king. You know, just...
So let me be very clear.
I don't find that offensive at all.
It's not offensive.
It's not offensive.
Here's the bottom line. If you want to know if somebody
But all gay people
funny,
don't do that.
If you
gay French kings do though.
All gay French kings do that. If they have an iPhone.
Yes. Exactly.
Or if they're looking through something that they turn page turning. So yeah, it is funny. If you want to know whether or not something is funny, because that's the other part of this discussion. That's not funny. You need to learn something if you're someone who's saying that. The sentence is, that's not funny to me.
Yes.
There's a big difference between that's not funny and that's not funny to me.
And that's not funny to me because I am an oversensitive douchebag.
Or, yes, so. That's worse. Yeah. That's
well done. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guest Ian Harris and Vince Cachero. I also want to thank my co-host and producer Heather Henderson and our video switcher Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
People at TAM.
And we'll be talking about...
The Amazing Meeting.
This has been the free version of episode 172, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Duck Dynasty Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Duck Gay Nasty Winters.
Where can people find you, Ian?
You can find me. Just watch my goddamn comedy special still, Critical and Thinking. It's on iTunes. It's on Hulu. And you can see me this weekend. If you're a secular person, I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio, at the Secular Student Alliance Conference.
Who directed that video?
Oh, my wonderful comedy special was directed by none other than Emery Emery.
Vince, where can people find you, sir?
You can find me on social media at V. Cachero, C-A-C-H-E-R-O, and I got my own website, vincecachero.com.
There you go. Guys, thank you very much. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.